I think we'll take temptation out of the way of the children, shall we? We do try to teach them that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So this is where the children go out in an orderly fashion. So that is the teens stay in, primary and preschool follow Joe out, and they're going to go upstairs. We discovered the other day, do you know how many stairs there are to the upper room? 39 steps. Remember the book? Okay. And they're going to be back in about 10 minutes with their Christingle oranges all made up. So we're looking forward to that. And in the meantime, we have Luke, who is another one of the leaders here, who is going to just share for 10 minutes a little bit about this good news of Christmas.
Good morning. I'm sure... Well, I'm slightly nervous. My two-year-old son, who has been hopping around and running around, is coming back down with a candle in an orange in a few minutes. So it's going to be a cliffhanger to see whether we set this church alight. Hopefully, we won't. As Nick said, my name's Luke. I'm part of the church here. I've been helping lead things over the last few months. It's great to have some visitors with us this morning. I trust that you're keeping safe in this kind of slightly crazy time. Yeah, I'm going to share about some good news that we have in Jesus this morning. So, who has got some Christmas lights or decorations up in their house? Show of hands. Pretty much everyone. Who has been adventurous and got some outside? I love it. Shame. Raywin. Raywin, giving me grief already. So what, we're just six sleeps away from Christmas Day if you've got children. I'm sure you're counting down the sleeps. But the reality is, in about 2 weeks' time, those decorations and lights we would take down, won't they? Which is a bit sad, isn't it? One of the things I love about having the lights up around the house is it brings a warmth and a coziness. I don't know about you, but I love sitting with a TV and just the Christmas lights on. Turn all the other lights off and just them twinkling away in the corner. And I really miss it when it's gone. The house suddenly feels bare, like something's missing. I sometimes wonder whether we should just have a tree in the corner of our living room all year round with lights on. Maybe just vary it for different seasons. And I love the lights on outside our house. I love walking up to our home because I see it's like it's inviting, it's warm. Our outdoor lights have actually broken this week, which has been devastating. Because we get home and it's just dark. And I'm like, oh, I need to find some more lights. My kids, we understand this light because my kids both go to bed with their doors slightly open. They don't want to be in complete darkness. In films and TV shows, we see darkness and light portrayed, right? Often darkness representing bad and light representing good. And in the Bible, there's this book written by a man called John, who was someone who was with Jesus when he was alive. And this is how he described Jesus. He said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it." In Jesus, we find life, and he gives light to all mankind. He's describing Jesus as the light that shines into darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Now, I know that sounds like a little bit of a cliche, but try and think about the tiniest light bulb in a dark room. My wife hates having a light on in our bedroom. My alarm clock has a very faint glow. And it infuriates her. Why? Because I imagine there's people in this room who even the faintest light could be seen in darkness. Who has ever heard the phrase, "there's light at the end of the tunnel"? Yeah? It's a phrase that we use to talk about hope, talk about hard times coming to an end. We might even say it to encourage people to keep them going in times of trouble. So you see, we talk about light fondly and optimistically. Even at the moment, I imagine we're all longing for the light at the end of this COVID tunnel, right? So Jesus being light that came into darkness can make sense on one hand, but can feel a little bit abstract in terms of what that actually means for us, right? It can sound nice, but it's like, what does that actually mean for us? Well, I've got a little illustration to help us. So it's going to come up on the screen and Edward's going to help me by clicking through. So if we get to the first one, Edward, here we go. So this is going to represent us on the earth. And I think you'd agree with me if we don't have far to look to see there's a whole lot of things in this world that don't feel right. You look on the news this week, I'm sure like me, you've looked at the news stories and gone, how does that even happen? We look on Facebook, you might be chatting to neighbours. Even just walking down the street, we can see all kinds of things that we're like, this doesn't sit right with me, around the world. And the Bible describes this as brokenness. And if we click again, we can make all kinds of attempts to make this brokenness better. We could work really hard at our jobs to earn good money that we might move up the scale and be able to buy a house and to have these kind of luxuries. It could be making really good things like helping loads of people, trying to be really kind to everyone we meet, trying to serve and be a blessing, trying to help at the school fair, trying to help in the local community centre. It's good things. It could be a sense of trying to find out who we really are. That's a big hot topic in the world at the moment. Who am I? Who am I? What does that mean? And it could be like escapism things. Stuff like it could be drinking, could be gambling. All of these things are attempts really to better ourselves, to help fix this brokenness that we see. But in the end, these attempts don't really get us out of this broken world. They don't. Now, brokenness was not part of God's original plan, God's perfect design. And I saw an advert for one of David Attenborough's documentaries coming up over Christmas. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever watched them, you just sit there amazed, going, this is crazy. I remember seeing the ocean ones, and you're seeing like how the whole food chain works. And as Christians, we believe that God designed that perfectly. We don't believe it was a fluke. Now, I don't know how you believe about kind of how the world came into existence, but one of the key things we believe is that God designed it. God created everything to work. The reason your heart is beating now and the blood is flowing around your body is not some kind of fluke. It's because God designed it that way. And the reality is, how did we get from here to here? Well, it's because as humans, we can sometimes be a bit selfish. We can sometimes do things our own way. We can sometimes think we've got this all in order, and we can try by our own attempts to do life. But the reality is, we've no acknowledgement of God and Him creating this world. And the Bible calls this work, this kind of turning away from God, as sin. And it ends up leaving us in this broken world. So this is where we get to this light coming into this darkness. God sent Jesus as the light into the darkness. This time of year is when we're remembering that God sent his son Jesus out of love for us. Now, some key things to know about Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never turned his back on God. He never tried to do things his own way. And then he died on the cross, which is a symbol we use at Easter, where we remember Jesus dying on the cross. But then after dying on the cross, we've got some arrows coming up. He died on the cross, and then he rose again, 3 days after he died, defeating death, taking punishment for sin. And Jesus, what he said to his followers back then, and says the same to us now, is he says to turn from doing our own thing, to seek forgiveness and believe in him, what he's done for us, and most importantly, make him king of our lives. And what does that mean? That means just following him, just saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? How can I do all these things that I'm trying to escape brokenness, but for your glory? And Jesus promises that as we turn to him, we will receive forgiveness and God's mercy. And then we will be restored back to how he originally intended, for us to be in relationship with him, to one day when Jesus returns, we will all be in that perfect creation. There will be no more brokenness, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sadness, because we will be with him. As we do that, he promises to send his Spirit to help us. The Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and he promises the Holy Spirit to us now. Now, I guess we see this illustration that I've explained, and the question I want to put to you is, where would you see yourself at the moment? Would you see yourself here, kind of trying to make the best attempts of escaping this brokenness and darkness? Or would you see yourself here, being able to have turned to Jesus and being restored to how God designed it? You don't have to give me an answer, but it's just something to help us think about. How are we processing what God has done for us? Where we fit in God's perfect design? Jesus came to this earth as light that came into darkness. He is that light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever situation you're facing, Jesus is the light at the end of the tunnel. He is the one that we should put our trust in. And one of the most important things, which is why we do these carol services, why we invite you if you're a visitor, is that when Jesus came to this earth, he said to share our light, to shine our light. The kids are going to hold up these oranges with the light, not only to represent Jesus coming to this earth, but to him shining the light outwards. Because light can shine into darkness, but darkness will never overcome it. Now, the kids will be finishing up in a minute, but as we look at these circles, if you're here today and have never turned and believed in Jesus, never said, actually, I think there might be something to him, you can do that today. There's no magic words. There's no rituals. All it is about us humbly coming before him and then acknowledge him. Our own failings and actually acknowledging what he has done for us. Dying on the cross so that we don't have to. And as we do that, he promises to send his Holy Spirit to come and live with us. To help us live lives that are good lives, that please the Lord, that are a blessing to those around us. And if you'd like to do that today, in just a moment, I'm going to read a simple prayer that we can have up on screen. And you're very welcome to pray it along with me. So maybe if we bow our heads or if you want to read along, then feel free to. I sometimes as well, when you've been following Jesus a long time, you can sometimes see this and go, oh man, I've been getting this wrong recently. And it's okay. Like I said, there's no magic rituals, right? This is okay to prayer of repentance, basically. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. And you might now want to take a few moments just to, there might be things on your mind that you just want to say sorry to the Lord for. You know where you've been doing things your own way. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Edward, if we can get that last picture up, that'd be amazing. So I'd encourage you, kids are going to come back in and it's going to be a load of fun and raucous. But over this Christmas time, just be thinking, where do I find myself in this illustration? Do I find myself restored with the Lord, how he intended? Or do I find myself trying to make attempts to escape this brokenness? Thanks for letting me share with you. We have timed that perfectly for the kids. Come to the front. Come to the front, kids.
Or are you gathering the masses at the back? No, they're coming. Fantastic. Here they come. Jemima leading the pack. Do you want to come this side, Jemima? That's great. Now mind that doesn't get too near your hair. This is the key thing. Parents are supervising.
Okay, guys, sorry, we lit a few a bit early. We're going to light them at the front. No one should be moving with a lit one, so they were supposed to light them at the front, sorry. But that's okay. Come and stand in a wonderful line. We need you in a great big long line. And we're going to turn off the lights. And we've got some lighters. When you're standing still, they'll come along and light your candle. Matteo, we need you right down the end, guys. And all the way up over here. And some of you are going to have to go around a bit of a circle at the end there. Yeah, yeah. Once they're standing still, and hold it really carefully. And we need the little ones with a parent behind them, the year ones and people. Brilliant. Wow. Look at these Christingles. They've made them themselves upstairs. Do you want to hold them out and up a little bit so people can see them? Wow, amazing. Okay, has everyone got them lit? Brilliant. We're just going to pray a prayer and then we're going to sing the Away in a Manger song, which I know lots of you love, and we want to hear you really singing. Lord, we thank you so much for Christmas. We thank you for each other. We thank you for our families and our friends, for this Christingle. We pray for this wonderful love to be in our hearts, Lord, today. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing Away in a Manger, which lots of you know. Well done. That was amazing singing. I don't know if you could hear them, but that sounded amazing. Because I know, and there was no rehearsal. They must know this from school and all the rest. Do we want to have a quick little photo opportunity and then we're going to blow them out? And then we've got these wonderful goodie bags to give you before you go home. Really special Christmas goodie bags. Guys, well done. You've held them brilliantly. Absolutely brilliantly. And no one set fire to their fringe. It's amazing. Really brilliant. Okay, we're going to blow them out now, I think. We're going to blow them out, but you can relight them at home. We're hoping it's not going to set off the fire system. We don't think it is.
Well done, everybody. There's always a huge sigh of relief when the last candle is blown out. And we're hoping that the water doesn't flow from the roof of the church. That's the end of our service. Just to say a couple of things. If you are new and you'd like to stay in touch, because of the Data Protection Act, it's really handy to have your name and email address or telephone number or whatever on this card, which is at the back on the information desk as you go out. Also, if you are interested in talking a little bit more about Luke's message, or if you prayed that prayer or would like to pray that prayer, which I prayed many decades ago and it changed my life, then Luke will be around at the end to chat to. Now, we do have mince pies, we have Christmas biscuits, and we have mulled wine, which is marginally alcoholic after it's been heated up. So I should warn you about that. And we're going to bring that at the front. And the idea is really because people are obviously very conscious about the COVID thing. If you're worried about it, you don't have to have anything. But otherwise, come and just get your own. Take it. Be aware of socially distancing. Spread yourself out throughout the church, through the lobby, even outside. And we shouldn't hang around for too long. But there are some nice mince pies, some biscuits, and some mulled wine just coming up now. So thank you so much for coming. And have a very happy Christmas. Mm-hmm.